Welcome. My name is Steve Baker. I'm the Vice President of the Great Game of Business, and I know the least about business of any of you in the room. What is really cool about that is being the dumbest guy in the room always means I'm learning, and I'm learning from people all over the world, and that's really cool. I'm very fortunate to be able to do that and then share some of it back. I'm going to do something I have not done at the gathering in 12 years, and that is to do a session without any PowerPoints. What do you think? Yeah. The reason is that in preparing for this, and in fact, I want to apologize. You have my permission to leave if you feel like it's the wrong session for you. Last year, I did a session on Stake in the Outcome where I actually walked through bonus design. They use the same description for this workshop. I'll still provide you all the tools that we have, everything like that. But the thing is this is about intentional stake in the outcome design. I am passionate about tying people's stake in the outcomes. So let's just take it away from bonus plans right now. I want to engage people tomorrow, and I want to engage them next week and at the quarterly payouts. I want to engage them at the end of the year. I want to engage them 20 years from now. You follow me? So I'm a guy who has experienced the worst bonus plans in the world in my career, and then I found SRC. The first place I ever walked into, and they said, oh, we're going to forecast the numbers, we're going to forecast the profitability, and hence we'll forecast your bonus. I'm like, is this for real? I really didn't believe it. In fact, one of the things I thought about talking about on the main stage was how Jack Stack challenges me all the time. He'll go, Baker, when you first started here, what did you think about this? Hey, 10 years later, what did you think about that? Well, a few years ago, we started a BHAG of getting $100 million in cash on the balance sheet. Have you heard this yet? That's our war chest. He asked me in his office, he's there with his writer, Darren Dahl, as he works on his new book, and he says, Baker, what did you think of it when you first heard it? I said, I didn't believe it. You should have seen him. He was going to come across the desk at me. The thing is, right, I believed it. I had to stop him from, taking me by the throat. He said, I believed it, but I didn't believe it. In other words, I didn't believe it because I didn't have a reference point. I'm a simple guy from Springfield, Missouri. What do I know about $100 million? I don't know what $1 million really looks like. Yes, I can run a business, but do you understand what I'm saying? The scale of it was so huge, I had to say, I believed we could do it. Because at SRC, we can do anything. And with the Great Game, we can do anything. But it took me about 6 months to really see, and I'll tell you what happened. It goes right back to stake in the outcome. The reason I could start to believe it is because we broke into groups. How are we going to get $100 million on the balance sheet? How would you do it? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. They broke us into groups, leadership groups, and they said, we're going to have a sales and marketing group. We're going to have a supply chain group, an accounting group. Are you getting it? And I'm like going, well, good, they'll put me on the marketing group. Sure, I can use my skills there. Awesome. They said, no, you're on supply chain. Why would they do that? They're trying to develop all of us. And I'm going, no, I don't want to be on supply chain, right? Throwing my little tantrum. And then I go, oh, okay, I see what's going on. First 90 days, you know what they did is they said, we have $9 million of inventory that we need to liquidate. It's just cash sitting on the shelves. It's obsolete. We need to actually figure out what the definition of obsolete is. You can imagine these conversations with supply chain geeks. I apologize to all my supply chains people and my geeks. The cool thing was, though, is they said, Baker, you could help us design a mini game, right? I'm going, now I see what they did here. I'm learning about supply chain. They're learning about 90 days. That $9 million was half gone. Liquidated. Now I could see the $100 million. Well, of course we can do that. If we can do $4.5 million in 90 days, are you getting the point? So they had me in a matter of weeks. Education, engagement, passion, right? They just figured out how to tap my internal motivation. So what I want to do for you is take this a little bit further and say, what are some ideas? I want you to walk out of here with a deliverable. One is I'll try to answer every question about stake in the outcome that I possibly can in the time we have together. But I will also be giving you some cheat sheets that I've prepared to figure out how to take your people, because you're already doing great things for them, aren't you? How many of you have health insurance for your people? Dental, vision, life. Are you looking around? Do your people know that? Do you talk about it a lot? Last night at dinner, I told someone what I pay for a family of five for healthcare premium at SRC, $168 a month. I haven't said that for a year to anyone. I had to appreciate it when some guy goes, mine's 1,100. Well, edit that. So this is your workshop. What I mean by that is I want to take the first 20 minutes or so and talk about the big idea, what I want to put forth, and some basic bonus or stake in the outcome design elements that you really need to think about if you're not thinking about them now. Then we're going to go into workshop mode. You guys are going to break into groups. You can work individually. But what I'm going to have you do is use our worksheets here and our inspiration pieces to come up with ideas to go short-term, mid-term, long-term, so you can create a program that people can have vision, just like Steve Baker had to have. Oh, how do we get from here to there? And by doing this, then we'll come back in the last third of the workshop, and you guys will share. How's that sound? Is it super exciting, or are you just like, I came here? Really? Okay, I hope it works. I think it will. What I'd like to start out with is four things that I wrote down at 3 this morning. That's how much I prepared. No, I'm kidding. This is what happens to me, right? I get obsessed, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, this will be good. These are four elements, characteristics of any stake in the outcome program. Now, this is in all of our stake in the outcome materials. You'll see this stuff in Jack's second book, A Stake in the Outcome, as well, in every workshop that we do. But I want you to have these since I'm not doing PowerPoint. Your stake in the outcome program. Let's talk about it being the midterm, the annual bonus program that we pay out quarterly. Should be self-funded. This probably makes perfect sense. And you're like, why would I have anything that wasn't self-funded? But I actually was on the phone last week with a lady that I worked for almost 20 years ago. And those of you who know me have heard this story. I am the king of fragrant bath salts. You didn't know that? I am the king. 1 year, I sold 53 semi-trailer loads of bath salts to Sam's Club. I am the king. Am I not? And the backstory on that is,
and you're proud of that?
I smelled good at the time. I came out smelling good. We didn't make any money. The thing is I had two small kids and one on the way at the time. I went to my boss at that time and said, I want to make more money. How do I make more money? What do you think she said?
Sell more.
And when you live in Springfield, Missouri, and you're told to sell more, where do you get in your car and drive to? Bentonville, Arkansas. You're 2 hours away, biggest retailers in the world. Who are the worst commercial partners you can imagine having? What was I thinking, though? Sell more was all I was told. I didn't know it was closed book, family operation, didn't know how much. The reason I bring up this story is I get a call from Jan last week. I haven't heard from her in years. She says, I just want to reconnect. I see you're writing books. You're doing good, da-da-da-da. And we get to talk, and I say, I talk about you all the time, Jan. Remember, I'm the king of bath salts because of you. And she goes, you know what, Steve? You remember the bonus I gave you? Yeah, I said, I sure do. She goes, I paid that out of debt. I had remortgaged my house. How does that feel? Make sure your bonus plan is self-funded. And you know, being open book, you're going to do that anyway. People will see, well, where are we going to pay a bonus if we aren't making money, right? So people think they are winning. They may not be really, truly winning in the metrics that we think about every day. Second, team-based. You would be amazed at how many people still have people competing within their organization when, in fact, we believe, our philosophy is you should be competing against a number, competing against the marketplace. So team-based incentives are great, and I want to take a moment. John, so you're from 3 Sharp in Seattle. Would you like to share your story with the group, your question, and then I'm going to address that to answer this question about team-based incentives.
Sure. Do I need a microphone?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we are recording, so when you have a question, we want to run a mic. Thank you, Mary. Appreciate that.
Hi, everyone. So we started a profit-sharing program. We call it profit-sharing, not bonus, because it's literally sharing in the profit last year. So after an earnout, 50% of our profits gets distributed back to our employees based on the ratio of what we've paid each employee to what we've paid overall. So not almost payroll, but not quite, because if you start halfway through the year, your ratio is lower. we've been really excited about this in terms of getting everyone engaged and getting everyone thinking like an owner. And it's had some success, but some of the more senior people, we're a 16-year-old company, and some of the more senior people, some of the people in the leadership, in leadership positions are asking for more. Not so much more than what they're getting in profit sharing, but we're getting kind of, you know, I want a bonus. I've worked harder than other people, or I want to be able to give my employees spot bonuses. And, you know, my first thought was I was pretty annoyed because I was like, wait a second, we're giving away 50% of our profits already and you're asking for more? Like, that's crazy. Who does? Like, but I think it maybe is addressing either a different level of need for recognition or maybe a lack of leadership on my and my partner's part in terms of really getting people engaged in what's going on in the company. So I'm really here today to try to figure this out and kind of unwind it. So if anyone wants to reach out and share their stories with me afterward, I'd love to hear them, and I'd love to hear
Steve. I was going to put it to the group first, and then I'll give you my opinion. And remember, all this is my opinion and our opinion as a group, but I have an idea for you, but before I throw that out, I want to just say, does anybody have any suggestions or advice for? Please.
Bonuses are part of compensation. Bonuses are part of compensation, so it's really a total package. You get your salary, and then you get your bonus. The bonus should be based on various fractions, one of which is how well did the company do as a total. Probably at least half of the bonus ought to be based on how well the company did. Then you can break the other 50% down in terms of how well did you do against your personal goals that you had for the year. Another one might be how much did you help somebody else beat their goals for the year.
Nice. Anybody else want to share? So my thought for you, my idea, whatever you want to call it, my advice to you would be to do exactly what you ended with, which was maybe it's a leadership issue. Why don't you go back to the basics of education and say, we're sharing 50-50. Once we hit a certain level, I assume you have to hit a certain minimum performance, and then you pay. So you take care of your capital expenditures, investments, anything like that, taxes, whatever, and then you split. 50 goes to the company, 50 goes to the pool. Is that correct?
Yep.
And then it's distributed somehow throughout. Yeah, okay, great. Percentage of pay. So my thought was immediately you're in planning right now for 2019. I see you go back to basic education and you say, look, we've had feedback from people that say some people probably ought to have special recognition. We're still a team. What if you went it to 40% to the pool, 10% to a discretionary pool, which would be given then to managers or team leads or whatever. At SRC, we used to have a program called Top Gun, which was totally discretionary. Every general manager of the divisions had a certain number of votes. Each vote was $1,000. So if I'm in one division and you're in another, I could still vote for you in the form of, here's $1,000. And that way, people who really rose above. The year that we came out with the 20th anniversary edition book, you know, Rich and I worked on that thing for a year and a half to get it out, and people recognized it. So I got Top Guns that year. The next year, I didn't get as many. Guess what my reaction was? Wah, wah, wah. Right? But still, I mean, I'm a big boy and I knew it. But at first, look, I'm telling you, when it comes to bonuses and compensation, don't people revert to their little person about 10 years old, you know, not there. We need to go back to education and we need to say, look, what is reality telling us? But team-based, I think, is number one. I do believe in discretionary bonuses above that for people who really do an outstanding job. So I know that's pretty top level, but my suggestion would be, you know what? I look at compensation as bonuses are included in your compensation package when you're taxed, but my personal philosophy is when I was a kid, if mom bought Tide and that rare occasion where there was a little box of Tide shrink-wrapped to the outside of it, that was bonus. It was extra. It was outside. I don't want people to get an entitlement, and it sounds like the 50% share has become an entitlement for you. So go beat the crap out of that. Does that help at all? So, and we can talk more as well afterward. But team-based, and you also touched on something else which is really important. Do you hear him say profit share? How many of you do a profit-sharing program? Okay? I want you to change your vernacular. Think about it as a gain-sharing program. In other words, you do a gain-sharing program. You have a minimum performance. We have to take care of the company first because that's job security, career paths, right? A place to work for a long time. And then we pay bonuses. But if you think about gain share, it doesn't infer to the, as they learn about profit, they'll look at profit and go, well, they're not sharing all the profit. They're taking more than half, right? You got to teach that threshold, that minimum performance. And then gain share simply means above and beyond that. I think it's a mindset. Yes, Alan.
Another thing you might think about when you talk about, you know, y'all have obviously an incredibly generous company and you're doing some great things, but people do get into this entitlement mode. So you've mentioned health insurance. One of the things that might be beneficial is to go back and then enumerate each year with some type of benefits statement. These are all the things that you get, not just your salary and not just your bonus. This is what we pay on your behalf in income tax, state and federal. This is what we pay on your behalf for your health plan. This is what we pay in your retirement plan. And you start enumerating all of those kind of benefits. People are shocked to learn that, you know, a $50,000 a year job actually costs you $100,000. And when you start putting, and they're like, yeah, well, that's income tax. But if you have to, if you see it, it's part of the education. And maybe that's helpful in kind of resetting some expectations.
That is great, Alan. You get extra points. So here's the interesting thing is that I'm going to give you two examples. I'm going to share with you what SRC does, and I'm going to share with you what Hillcorp Energy does in Houston, Texas, because they're an old client of mine. They've been playing for a long time. They're Hall of Fame, All-Star winner, and they have a really brilliant way to do a lot of the things that we do at SRC, but without what I would call an ESOP or a traditional employee ownership program, because that long-term thing, people go, well, hey, I'm never going to be able to share that. I want to give you options, right, so you have two illustrations side by side. The last component that I want to share with you before we get into the illustrations are make sure that your people are forecasting their own bonus. Man, you want ownership? Have them forecast their own bonus. And then if they aren't hitting the numbers and they aren't getting the bonus, whose fault is it? I know that's a negative way to put it, but let's be honest. When you start talking about messing with somebody's compensation, it becomes a fault game, doesn't it? And I want people to go, no, we're accountable for this. We own this. So make sure that if you're working on a 2019 program, that as you think about short-term, mid-term, long-term, you're including these things. Is it self-funded? Can we make sure that the team is winning as a team? We'll pull the wagon a lot further and faster. Are we gain share or are we profit share? Let's make sure that we're always winning and we're always moving forward. And finally, are we forecasting our own bonus? You all good with that? The other thing that's cool is when Alan brought up that idea, I went ahead and grabbed it, and we'll grab all the ideas that you have so that when you leave, you can snap a picture of this or watch the video later. And I'm not going to talk in front of the speaker. Okay. So total rewards. I wrote that down because at SRC, and if you want to grab your 11x17 handout, we'll start to look at that. Just open it up and lay it out. At SRC, we actually put together a statement, as Alan was describing. We call it total rewards. Then I went to an ESOP meeting in Vegas and found out that that is the name of the gambling loyalty program for every casino in Las Vegas. So unfortunate, but we're really great at naming shit. You know, SRC Electrical, SRC Heavy Duty, SRC Logistics. Are you getting the point? So think about putting a statement together of all the things that you do for your people, with your people, health insurance, dental, vision, whatever. We actually go even further. We put a dollar figure on it. We go out to the marketplace and we say, if you work somewhere else, this is what it's worth. And currently, all the rewards that we offer people are another $4.18 an hour. If you do not know what it's worth per hour, if you have hourly people, you need to find out what the number is. And when you're trying to attract and retain people, you need to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it until they can talk about it at the dinner table, and they can talk about it to friends of theirs at church or on the soccer field, right? Because that gets around. At SRC, we pay market, maybe even slightly below, because we do have pretty promising bonus plans. We got the ESOP and everything else. But what do people want when they first walk in the door? What will I make? What can I make tomorrow? So that's why I'm passionate about short-term, mid-term, long-term. The sheet that I put together for you has three components to it. The first is our future. This is where your ideas are going to be placed when we do the table work. The second one is examples that I'm going to walk through for you from SRC and finally Hillcorp Energy on the right-hand side. Are you all comfortable with this format, by the way? Just conversational? I want you to stop me at any time and ask questions because this is really important. And there's nothing more personal than a stake in the outcome, if you ask me. So think about putting yourself in someone else's shoes every time you're in the design phase. So right now, if you're in 2019 planning and you're looking at the stake in the outcome, I want you to put yourself in the frontline person's shoes, the team lead, salesperson, somebody who's maybe working embedded at a customer's or something. I mean, put yourself in like the furthest point away from headquarters, furthest point away from the C-suite, and say, how would this feel? How does the message come across? Because you heard Rich talk about it yesterday, the curse of knowledge. Are you familiar with this term? When we get something, when we get it, it clicks, we become very bad communicators about it. So though you may understand gain share, you may understand, well, heck, we may have said the word profit sharing 1,000 times. Do they really understand what it means? Do they really understand that we have to hit a minimum performance first, that sort of thing? So now you're in their shoes. I want to present to you a few ideas that SRC does, and I'm going to side-by-side parallel them with Hillcorp. So you've got SRC, 100% employee-owned company with an ESOP, an employee stock ownership program. Right? That is like the hardcore ERISA-governed, right? That is a retirement plan, according to the U.S. government. Now you got Hillcorp, owned by one man, Jeff Hildebrand, Houston, Texas, a billionaire. In the same time we've built up a company that's worth $600 million in sales a year, sells something in the range of $2 billion. Holy cow, he must be doing something right. Step one, be in oil and gas. Secondly, he really looks at everything. When he meets other companies, he says, what's the best practice? What's working, not working? What can I do to make it even better? So if you look at this sheet, I'm going to walk down through it. First of all, we play mini games. That's your short term. That's a thing you could do Monday morning. If you've ever been to one of my workshops, that's what I promise. I'm like, man, if you don't go back and do something Monday, it's your fault. You better go back. I've given you the tools. Now what are you going to go do? Build a mini game with your people. Now, Hillcorp does those, but guess what? About 6-7 years ago, they actually hired us to come back in because their minigames got stale. And they are growing so fast. They went from 700 people to 1,300 people in 2.5 years. What do you think you do to your own culture when you add that many people? You dilute your own culture, and you move people up. People also are going to be spread out. They became the largest independent producer in Alaska. So you send a whole bunch of people to Alaska. You make acquisitions, people that used to work for Marathon and Chevron, guess what they say when you say minigames? Yeah, what the hell are you talking about? I work in Alaska. I make a 30% premium on anyone else in the industry. You get it? So it's very hard to get people to go. So change the name if you have to, but do minigames and do them with rigor. And what I mean by that is good design. If you have trouble, man, you can lean on each other. In the community, you can lean on us. We have tons of online learning and just do mini games, but do them right. So, secondly, recognition. Who does a recognition program you're proud of? You want to talk about it?
Sure. We have Treat Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So we do an employee recognition program. So every team member, we're a team of 25, get to nominate a team member. And we give a gift card out every week, and then we have it at a quarterly level and then at the annual level.
Did you call it Treat Tuesday?
Treat Tuesday, yeah. That's our weekly huddle. It happens on Tuesday. The last Tuesday, it's a lunch. Every other Tuesday, it's a breakfast.
Great. And so you recognize your top players at those meetings?
Yeah, the team does.
The team does, yep. Even better, yep. Right? Nothing's better than peer recognition. Yes. Got one up here, too. Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Steve. We developed a thing called Teams, the extra mile is what it stands for, and we put together a closed-circuit TV system within the company because we're going out to – that goes out to like 12 different locations, and people self-recognize other team members for going the extra mile, and they put, you know, thanks for helping me out load this truck or going doing this and doing that. That's also supported by a core value. And then we have a mini game going to break our record for last year. Last year we started and we were getting 20, 25 a month. They did the drawing this morning. We had 55 for the month of August. So then every month at the end of the month, we do a a drawing for a $15 gift card for the person who put the team in and also the recent recipient of the team. So we do this every month, and we've been averaging 55 to 65 per month of teams. And
wow.
People see that on the TV, and they get a lot of mileage out of it, and it costs us very little.
And do you see that people just strive a little bit harder because they want to be a part of that program?
Yeah, and they want to be part of that program. They want to see their name on the TV and get congratulated for it and be recognized by their peers. And it, you know, it just makes everybody feel good.
I love it. And what does it really cost you?
Nothing. $30 a month. For recognition, being people being recognized.
I love it. And I'm not saying be cheap. I'm saying you don't need much. No. At SRC Electrical, you just made me remember it. If you sit in on one of their huddles when you come to Springfield, we tour and go through one of their huddles. They have what's called You Are Awesome. And they just take three things that an employee has handed in a slip that just says You Are Awesome. Yes, and we spell it with an R. Should be backwards. No, it shouldn't. You are awesome, and guess what they do? We'll do it together. Hey, I just wanted to say that Tom gave us a great idea. It really helped us out as an organization. I just want to recognize him. So, Tom, you are awesome.
You are awesome.
Let's do it again like you work at SRC Electrical.
You are awesome.
Yeah, there you go. And you got to bring that, right? Bring the energy to the room. Very good. Thank you. One more? Anybody? All right, let's keep moving. So we also started a community relations board. The reason was Jack got tired of everybody coming and saying, well, can SRC sponsor my softball team? Can SRC sponsor my kids' baseball team, right? And he said, here's a budget. You guys go ahead and take care of it. That was 20 years ago, 25 years ago. He hasn't had to worry about it since. And guess what? People make it go further. Right, and they're much more likely to also say they'll do a matching program. If SRC will do 1,000, we'll drum up 1,000. So they're actually doubling the impact in the community. The reason I say it's part of a stake in the outcome program is because what is great about taking care of your kid's softball team or working with the Victory Mission as an example? Rhonda did that for years for free just to help out. The cool part is it's pride, and it's part of it's. This is where I live. I want to make it better and better and better. So don't take things like community relations as being just something people do. It is part of the stake in the outcome as far as I'm concerned. Hillcorp takes it one step further. They actually donate money on behalf of people. In other words, you get a budget of $2,500 a year to... Hello. I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to do that, was I? That was just a little freaky. We can do that again if you want, and I'll try to... Okay, good. So... I don't know what I look like in 4K, but I bet it's disturbing. What's cool is, think about this, you get a budget of $2,500 a year. You get to point at any place you want to donate it. And if you donate more of your own money, they'll match it up to a certain level. Isn't that cool? So that's just what oil and gas can do for you. So healthcare, man, I can't talk enough about the healthcare. We are self-funded, so that's why we have such cheap health insurance. But the thing is it won't be cheap forever. Last year, we had to do a company-wide vote. There's 1,800 of us now. We voted, literally voted, every person voted, what would you rather do? Have health insurance rates go up? Reduce prescription coverage? Are you getting the point? I voted for lower prescription because I'm like going, well, I don't hardly take anything. The family's doing good. Now my son is on Accutane, which the retail price is $1,700 a month. What a screwed up vote I made. But you get the point, right? I voted. I'm a big boy. I can take it. The best part is we aren't paying through the nose for health insurance. EAP, has anyone ever used it? Do you have an employee assistance program? Hands? Do you know what one is? So why don't you tell us what it is? Extra points.
Typically, it's a program that if an employee's having trouble with drug or alcohol abuse or something like that they can enter the program at the company cost and help them out.
Yep. If you don't have an EAP, an employee assistance program, think about it. It's definitely substance abuse, addiction, marriage counseling, it's personal counseling, legal advice. I used it to get my son out of a ticket. What's really funny is I won't go do that again. Because there's a message that's sent. Oh, Dad's got a lawyer. Get it? Don't do that. The thing is, they cost very little, and utilization is pretty low for most organizations. So, you know, the thing is, if you have it, make sure, if you already have one, look at utilization. Are people using it? And encourage people to use it, because it's an extra thing that man, it's just a benefit that you don't think about till you need it. And it's great to have that advice. Who has flexible spending accounts? Yes. HSAs. These are great, but people forget about them. It's like, wait a minute, is this a benefit? Yeah, pre-tax dollars to pay for medical and prescriptions. That's exactly what I'm using mine for the for my son's Accutane. This is interesting. We just started an employee emergency assistance fund at SRC. I was one of the first people to sign up. I have money pre-tax taken out, and I donate that to SRC's fund. So if somebody's house burns down, somebody has, God forbid, cancer. It happens all the time, 1,800 people, right? Some emergency, they can call on the fund and apply for funds there. Hillcorp has been doing that for years. They call it Helping Hands. Their fund is huge because people are so giving and they're so tied in. We're just getting started, but I think it's a huge deal, and I'm proud to be a part of it, and I hope to God I don't have to use it someday. I'd rather ask my people who know and love me than a complete stranger, right? So that's what I love about it, is it's us. It's our family, and it ties us together. It truly is a part of the stake in the outcome. Is this okay? Is the pace okay and everything? You good? Yes.
So we're 140 people. We're running pretty lean on staffing. Great culture with this stuff. And what always locks us up is, like, we've really thought about this employee emergency fund. Mm-hmm. What locks us up is the administrative time and effort that ends up after the fact. Like, okay, who's going to do this? I have an HR group with two people. And it just stops you. It stops all the momentum, and we don't know how to get past that. So talk the intent to, is great.
Talk to, where are you located?
St. Louis, near St. Louis.
Oh, my gosh. Talk to some of the community groups out there. In Springfield, we use United Way, Community Foundation of the Ozarks. There's lots of people who know how to administrate these things. You might even be able to go to a bank, right, and set up a fund there. If you want more information, I'll connect you with Chrissy Schell, who's here, our head of OD, and she can tell you the more specific admin part of it, but I think there's resources out there for you. What's really cool is if you ask someone who's been through, you know, I mean, I know a guy at SRC whose house burned down or burned, and I think I could go to Tom and say, Tom, would you mind being a part of this? And I bet he'd volunteer first. You know, let me take care of that. I'm good at spreadsheets. I can do this. But I think there's a lot of other resources for you. Good question. I'd say extra points, wouldn't you? Yeah, sure. Okay, so do you feel like those are short-term or immediate things that you could do, like in a week or so, to bolster or at least make more apparent what you have available to people? I think minigames is the single most powerful thing you can do because it can change. But now we have to go kind of midterm, and the first thing I think of in midterm rewards is going to be the annual bonus program. How many of you do an annual bonus program now? And keep your hands up if you pay it out quarterly. Okay, and if you pay it out quarterly in a progressive fashion, like 10, 20, 30, 40. Okay, good. Everybody down? Now, who does not have an annual bonus program? Okay, when you think about one, I want you to go back, and again, this isn't the workshop for it, but study some of the basics. And a lot of that exists in the previous book. In the back of the book, there's information, but there's lots of resources for you. Design it very well before you roll it out. I had two clients in the last few years who we started late in the year, so they had already done strategic planning, they'd already done financial planning, but they hadn't done the bonus program yet. I'm giving you permission. It doesn't have to start January 1st. If you don't have it designed well, wait. Don't announce it, don't make a fanfare, don't make a promise until you are sure you can deliver on the promise. And you know why, don't you? Man, you break a promise or change a promise on a bonus program, you've lost people. So take it easy, do the study, make a good decision, make a good plan, and then bring it out when it's appropriate. You can still have a quarterly payout at the end of the first quarter. You just may not have started talking about it until January 30th, right? Just wait until you're ready. I'd rather have you do it right than twice. I put healthcare back in here, of course, because healthcare is something that always continues to happen. What you want to do is, we used to, at many of our divisions, just lock salaries and benefits into one line on the income statement during the huddle. We've actually broken it out in several places because people need to understand that even though we're self-insured, we live in a world where one change, we're grandfathered in, right? But one change that's significant in our healthcare program kicks us into the markets. Guess what happens then? A lot of very unhappy people. So education, 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 but healthcare is just a big one. We are just now looking at childcare. And I'm like, where were you when my kids were little? Does anyone do childcare or daycare of some sort? Okay, dependent spending care account. Very good. So they can actually set aside their own funds. I know that some FSAs allow that as well. That's a great idea. I just never thought about it on site until Chrissy Schell, our head of OD, was saying, yeah, we're looking at it right now because wouldn't that be great to have that available for folks who need it? And I met someone here at the conference yesterday who said they already have it. It's a copay situation, but think about moms that are nursing or something. They don't have to run home or they don't have to go to a special room. I really went to the wrong place, didn't I? But you know what I'm saying. It's like, wow, what if we could bring the kids here, right, somewhere closer and it's much more trusted? The one thing I think about is when my kids were little, we took them to a place called A Touch of Nature. Years later, so now they're 25, 23, and 17, they all go, you know what we called it? I said, what? You were this tall. What did you call it? Touch of Torture. Strangers bringing up my kids, right? So I'd rather bring them in closer. So I'm excited that we're looking at it, even though we don't have small kids at home anymore. Hillcorp has the giving program. And again, this is different than the $2,500 a year budget that you get as an employee for a charity. This is a giving program that goes even further. You can do this for long-term giving planning. You can do it for something that is in your community. It's just a different thing, and they do a lot of matching there. So now let's talk about it. We talked about Top Gun program, a discretionary bonus to recognize top players. I'm going to tell you a quick story about Top Gun that touches my heart today that I didn't really know about. When I first started at SRC, so that was 12, 13 years ago, I got an extra little bonus on top of my quarterly bonus, and Rich Armstrong handed me a check. I found out years later that he had gotten a Top Gun, and he said, I couldn't have done it without you, that's why he gave me part of his bonus.
Wow.
That's touching, especially considering I've never done that for any of my people. You're supposed to laugh there, because I'm really not Scrooge. But it is true. It makes me reflect. So I want to put that to you as well. You could say, I'm going to give you, as a team lead, as a manager, X amount. What do you want to do with it? Could be cool. Now, we've talked about things. Here's one thing we don't do at SRC, and I wish we did. I hope you will think about it. At Hillcorp Energy, for the last 15 years, they've done a five-year BHAG, Big Hairy Audacious Goal, bonus program. First of all, they're oil and gas, right? They're very well compensated folks, and that's just the nature of it. And as Jack said yesterday, it's boom or bust, right? So they're very good at taking the bust out of it, and they just keep figuring out ways to hedge and go forward. The first one that I remember was called Double Drive. If we create double the equity, double the reserves, and double the production rate in 5 years, everybody gets a $50,000 truck. And they got it. At the time, they had 750 employees. Can you imagine? They had to rent an auditorium, a stadium, to bring trucks in, and they all had a big celebration. 5 years, though, think about that, $50,000. The next one was called Dream 2015. And in June of 2015, every person, from a roughneck in the field to the secretary, Amanda, who I know, at the front desk at headquarters, $100,000. But think about it, 5 years, that's 20 grand a year, and 5 years at $2 billion a year. Are you doing the math here? It's not really hurting Jeff, but it's building something that people can go, wow. I'm telling you, working closely with the head of HR at the time, Janice Sanders, she goes, look, she already generated a lot of wealth and put it to good use. But she goes, I got the golden handcuff, Steve. I'm ready to retire. I got plenty of money, but I'm not leaving 100 grand behind, so I'm staying, right? And I want you to think about that. In the scheme of things, a five-year program, when we're talking about retention of great talent, why don't you think about doing it? It's really not that much per year that you'd have to do. And I'm not saying give 100 grand, but put something out there, a big, hairy, audacious goal. So he's doubled his company once, now twice. And if you think about it, that's only 15% growth a year. Is that possible? Are you doing this with me? Are you alive? It's not that terrible to think about. It's totally doable. And when we talk about stake in the outcome, we say reasonable, achievable, stretch. And the goals he's talking about are very reasonable in the scheme of things in oil and gas. So is that inspirational at all to you? Does anyone do a five-year or multi-year program? Yes?
Just to clarify and ask you to expand on this five-year BHAG. So you start this today, let's just say, is you got a five-year BHAG. Someone comes in 3 years from now. Do they participate in that? What's their motivation to help everyone else succeed?
Everyone participates on a pro rata share. Okay. So if you come in 3 years later, we do the math, you get a three-year share, or you know what I mean. Sorry, art major. So that's why we have accountants, dude. I'm financially literate. I didn't say I was a whiz. So here's what I want you to think about is you're doing the right stuff. You're saying, okay, mechanically, how would I do it? Don't make it complex. Keep it very, very simple. And what I like about people like Jack Stack and Jeff Hildebrand is they're very good at themes, right? Themes that can last over time. $100 million war chest. Do we need $100 million? We could do it with 99. Right? Or maybe 99 would be a more fun number, right? Who knows? It's marketing to our own people. So think about him. Double drive. We're going to double the size of the business, double our equity rate and reserves. The next year, Dream 2015, right? So he had people actually share pictures of what they were going to buy with their 100,000. They had boats, trips to Hawaii, lake houses, right? People were already visioning, like Ari from Zingerman's was doing, right? They're already putting a vision of what they're going to do with this stuff, right? Well, guess what happened to the oil market in the last few years, right? $108 down to what, 35 at one point? So the next one, they still earned their $100,000, but the next 5 year was let's do it again, let's double again, and they had to do a lot of acquisitions to make it happen, but they will hit the number. This one was a little more, they pulled it back with a lot of education, said this time it's 75 grand. Dale's laughing. Can you imagine somebody going, 75, what a ripoff? But I'd be like, what? Are you kidding me, right? So now we go to the long term. Are you following my thread here of how can I pull some? I want to get them. I want to get my hooks in them, and I want to pull them in with a mini game. I want to go, you're in it now, baby. I got you 6 weeks, 90 days, half a year. Now, oh, a quarterly bonus, right? And the year, and now I can talk about, right now, I'm teaching them all the way through, and the more financially literate they become, the more enticing the stake in the outcome can become. So now I want to throw this at you. Who does a 401k match? And how many, let's say, who has 50% participation? How about less? More? You see why I'm asking? It might be one of those things where you go, this is super education time, plus maybe it's an opt-out program. We're going to put you in until you take yourself out. And when they get ready to take themselves out, that's when somebody needs to call them up and say, hey, I want to talk to you for 5 minutes. It's free money, dude, right? And quick education. But it helps them to start building their own wealth, right? Their own war chest. So tuition reimbursement, anybody do that? Good for you. I'm really impressed by this crowd. We're actually talking about doing student loan forgiveness. That's what Jack talked to me in the hallway yesterday about, and I'm like going, dude, I got three of them. Maybe you could help me with my student loan debt. And he did ask me, do you really still have? No, I don't. So... Hillcorp, they do a great job of mentoring and training because they're very much into, not everyone can work at Hillcorp. Not everyone can work at SRC. Not everyone can work at your places, can they? We don't want everybody, do we? Do we? We don't just want warm bodies. We need people who are going to get it and who are going to push this thing forward. So you better be doing training. I've been doing this for a long time, but I seek training. I want more. I need the knowledge. If people aren't hungry for it, figure out ways to get them there. But I think that's the long-term investment. And then I mentioned student loan repayment, but scholarship fund. Here's what I would want you to do is I want you to take 10 minutes, and I'll be watching you. We can come earlier if we want to. This is a column for you. You can work individually or in groups. I want you to just go through and at least get two ideas from short-term, from mid-term, from long-term. So you have six ideas when you walk out of here, and we'll capture, as you guys share them back, on our board So you'll walk out of here with tons of takeaways. Does that sound good? Yeah. Do you understand the assignment?
Something different than what's already been discussed.
You can put down, if you like one of these ideas, put it down. I even gave you a cheat sheet, which is this sheet right here. Many, many more ideas. You can't walk out of Steve Baker's sessions without saying you got a shitload of stuff. You don't have sheets?
No.
I'm sorry. We are out. Here, you can have mine.
Well, thanks. That'll work.
You want me to sign it? I'm kidding.
No.
I'm kidding.
I know you're doing.
If you don't have one, buddy up with somebody. You can always take a picture of it afterward. Questions? All right, get to work.
Sabetter's Pottery. I realized what that was.
Hi. Well, that went fast. I almost hate to interrupt, but we do have 5 minutes left. If you can hear my voice, clap once. If you can hear my voice, clap twice. If you think I'm awesome, clap a whole bunch. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You guys, I love you. Stay forever. I intended to give you more time. I think I told too many stories. I hope that wasn't too much. But I'm dying to know if you guys would be willing to share in the next few minutes, take your best idea. First of all, was it a useful exercise? Do you think that you're going to walk away with something you can actually use Monday? Okay. Then what I'd like you to do is pick your best, your very, very best, and I'll try to capture them as quickly as I can. Mary will come around as quickly as she can and try to grab you. So just volunteers. What do you got? And do this. Do me a favor. Say short term, this. And then somebody else, short term, this, midterm, right?
Midterm for us, we just did a remodel and we're looking at a dog-friendly office environment.
Dog-friendly. Got it. Thank you.
Ours is more generic, but it was what they want. If you create open book management, it's what the people want. So you give them power to decide what kind of incentive programs they want.
Interesting. Very good. That could be short-term, midterm, or long-term. Very good.
For long-term, our company is starting to do, it's kind of a pilot program, but wealth planning.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Wills, power of attorneys, estate planning.
Nice.
Like really setting it in for the long term.
Thank you. Excellent.
I just wanted to comment. The gentleman next to us over here talked about letting the people figure it out. We've taken it out to the culture teams and gotten feedback on what the people want. And what we found is what management thought was rewarding wasn't even close to what the people, the line people wanted. And what's, you know, it's a lot of times it's we use a lot of Hispanic help. And when they had the earthquakes in Mexico City last year, they went to take bonus money and give it back to the Mexican Red Cross. That was important to them.
Wow.
That's so awesome. Instead of self-fulfillment. So ask your people continuously what's important to them at the time.
Yeah, people support what they help create.
Right.
Excellent. Give us your awesome ideas. Then we got one in the back row.
We do summer Fridays every year, starting from Memorial Day on. So Memorial Labor Day, it's a four-day week. Just stack the week, 40 hours in the 4 days. And then during the rest of the year, it's actually a four-and-a-half-day week, so everybody's done at noon on Friday. So they get a long weekend basically all year.
Nice. Very nice. And I like these things. These are things that when I said walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, that's what I was intending is ask people what they want. So cool. Who else? Yes. Talking to my chest.
We allow our employees to work one day a year at a charity, and the company pays them for that day.
So paid time off, but they give it back to the community. Great. Who's next? We got time for a couple more. Come on, who's inspired? Yes.
You know, one thing I was just thinking of, we have in our industry a lot of people with transportation problems. I thought we could start a transportation fund for them to get to work.
A transportation fund. Nice. An Uber fund. Yes, Alan.
But we let employees, and they're very generous. We're a hospital, but we let employees donate PTO to other people. We just had someone who doesn't have a spinal injury, and so everybody's lining up to donate time off to her.
Love it. Man, does that tie a group together or what? That's family. Merrill had a really cool idea up front. Do you want to talk about the car thing?
So I have one of my vendors that I deal with.
Magic.
An advertising agency that I use. Whenever somebody's been at their office for 10 years, they give them a car. And I'm like, wow, how can you afford to do that? Just give them a car. He goes, it's $500 a month. He goes, and then they're going to stay. He goes, doesn't mean they get to keep it when they leave, but it keeps them staying for a long time. So you get a car when you've been here for 10 years.
So we took it even further. We said, what if you did the math on Hillcorp's $100,000 deal? You know what that is per month? $1,600 a month. I mean, it's really, in the scheme of things, it's really not that much. So what if it wasn't $100,000? What if it was $50,000? What if it was $20,000? I mean, sometimes things sound outrageous, and they really aren't. You just got to do the math. And then we flipped the car idea and said, what if you just accrued $300 to $500 a month for someone, and then at the end, the car would be paid for? Crazy, right? Of course, you'd have to drive a car like me, you know, a 10-year-old Honda Civic. This is way funnier, by the way, in other parts of the country.
Sorry, to expand on even what Alan said, we set this thing up years ago. We call it the Love Fund, and it was just to cover all these things where someone's getting married, maybe there's death in the family, and there was always people going around trying to collect funds, you know, to buy flowers or what have you, and we set it up that we asked everybody on the team to make a donation. The company matched it, so there's always at least $1,000 in there, so anytime anything happens, no one needs to run around and say, hey, we need to collect money at this moment. It's just automatic. It happens, and it's not that, you know, someone has to approve it. It just happens. And similar with the donated PTO time, that was a good concept, but it was something where, you know, like you say, people would start to be like, oh, I don't want to give up my PTO time. But the nice part is you had to get the idea out there. You only have to donate an hour. We got 50 people on the team. Everybody donates 1 hour of their PTO time, and you get somebody a week.
It.
So we just had a woman that was in an ATV accident, got really hurt, and you know, it just required about everybody to donate about 2 hours. Some people, of course, donated days, you know, worth of PTO. But when you go around and ask everyone, can you just donate 1 hour? It's not a big sacrifice, and makes a huge difference. And you know, she's recovered and back at work. And you know, I mean, those folks are immensely appreciative.
That's really cool. I wish we had more time to go through and just pick all of your brains, because this is cool because you're already doing these things. What are we capable of? If we just spend a little bit of time during planning season and just take it a little bit further and try to touch the short term, the midterm, and the long term rewards that we could provide our team to knit that culture together, make it more of a family, and have people really enjoy. One last thought. I'm going to open it up to the floor. I hate to dominate. Anybody got a great idea?
We use SurveyMonkey a lot.
SurveyMonkey?
Online free survey tool.
Very handheld friendly, so you can do it on your phone. That's a great way to do it. We do a lot of things at huddles because we are hardcore about weekly huddles, so we make sure that that is part of the communication program. But surveys are very important because you do want a structured way to really get the voice of the people. And SurveyMonkey has a great feature where you can tell what your respondent rate is. If it's less than 75%, you need to rethink how we're communicating anyway. But I think that'd be a great idea. Yep. Anonymous can be very useful. Jeff Hunn? All right. Let's kill the people next door by screaming as loud as you can. Yeah, staking the outcome! All right, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the conference. We'll see you in the main room in a few minutes.